This is Doug Miller. You know, there's a great practical side to Christianity and the way it affects our lives as we live them here in this world. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time, this side of paradise, this side of heaven, with the Word of God in hand. And the Word of God, of course, is the blessing. I've heard many times preachers read from the pulpit, portions of Scripture and say, "May God bless His holy Word." Well, yeah, He will. Because the blessing is in that word. That word is the blessing. And it cannot fail to bless even those that don't think they're affected by it. It will still have its effect, even if that is in judgment at the day when the Lord Jesus judges all. So, you know, it's a great thing. Bring your Bibles. Come along. And we are in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And we will be taking up just some practical things about Christianity today. And in fact, the rest of Hebrews from here on to the end has some very practical things, things that we all ought to know and do, and make a great difference in our lives. So bring your Bibles. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists only for one reason, and that's to see this word go out. Of course, we're very dependent on you, our listeners, for your support and prayers. And, the more people we can get praying, the better off we are. We cannot have enough prayers going up. So write our names down on your little prayer list and pray for us every day. Pray that the Lord will extend this ministry out farther. And pray that lives will be changed. And pray that the Lord Jesus be honored. Pray for me. Pray that I will have a guard set over the door of my lips and not be saying foolish or hurtful things over the air. You know, James said, "Be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." And really, every word that men speak, every idle word, said Jesus, they'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So pray for me that I won't make mistakes up here. And let us hear from you. Always good to hear from our listeners. Very great encouragement. You have no idea how encouraging it is. Just to read a few words, and some of them, are just wonderful. To read when people say, we're out here, we're listening, we're blessed, and so on and so forth. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. All right. We notice in verse 15 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, looking diligently, lest any man fail, literally fall short of, or probably the word in the Greek is husteron. Be lacking or come up lacking of the grace of God. You know, that is important, isn't it? Because God's grace is how we're saved. God's grace is how we're kept. God's grace is how we are blessed. It is in coming into His grace and by grace laying hold on the gospel that we are made fit for heaven. And look at this. Looking diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, once again, this is very practical stuff. Have you ever known a Christian in your life who was just, they called themselves Christians. I guess that's what they were. I don't know what to do, but take them at their word. But they were just bitter. They were just sour and solemn. And I don't know, there was just no joy in them. And they were always troubled. And yeah, they can open their Bibles and to the right passage of Scripture. And yeah, they can say all the prescribed prayers and stand up and kneel at the right times. And they can go through. But there is absolutely nothing in their life but bitterness and complaining. What is there in that person's life that would attract anyone to the gospel? Now, I know it's the Holy Spirit that draws and the Holy Spirit that shows us the things of Christ. But I am telling you that the changed life, the winsome, wholesome, changed life, the life of the Christian overflowing with joy has a powerful attraction to people. And you know, you'll hear people say sometimes to so-and-so, what is it with you? I mean, what is it about your life? What do you mean? Well, you always seem so happy. Well, I am happy. I remember an old brother, his name was John Elliott. He was from Northern Ireland, and he was in his 80s when I last met him and saw him and talked to him. He's gone home to be with the Lord now, but I remember I met him. He was walking up the hill. This little chapel where we were meeting and having our meetings was kind of up a hill, and he was coming along up the hill, and he had his Bible tucked under his arm and a big smile on his face. Brother, I said, you look happy. Why, he said, why shouldn't I be happy? I'm on my way to heaven. I knew another old brother, Carlton Jones. I'd say to him, how are you doing, Carlton? He'd smile and say, I'm on my way, brother. I'm on my way. And I tell you what, those brothers were so winsome and so happy. They just attracted people to them, to themselves. And they were just wonderful to be around them. On the other hand, bitter people. You've heard me say this on here before, but all anger and all bitterness, if it comes from Christians, it's all really directed at God. You can say, well, you don't understand. I got a cranky mother-in-law. Yes, I do understand, too. Well, you don't understand. I'm in a bad marriage. My wife, my husband is not saved, and they're making my life. Oh, I understand perfectly. I understand that God could change any of those situations. There's not a situation you have that God couldn't change instantly if he wanted to. And for some reason, he is not doing it. And I say for some reasons, he's got his reasons. And his reasons are always right. And his will for you is always right. And if you're complaining and bitter and full of hate and bitterness, face the facts. Your real complaint and your real bitterness is aimed at him. But there is a much more important result and sad result of your anger and bitterness. You're not hurting God. God doesn't like to see you that way. But look at this. It's a root of bitterness. It troubles you, and many are defiled by it. Many. And if you've ever been in a meeting or in a church with an individual like this or individuals, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're never happy. They are never content. And even they can say, oh, thy will be done, but they're saying it with bitterness and anger. Look, every one of us out there have problems. Every one of us. And I mean not just kitty cats hiding behind the computer. That's a minor thing. I can take a few seconds, 30 seconds, and kick her out and get back to it. But we all have problems, and some of you really have problems. Some of you are out there hurting, and you're in pain. And you would say to me, and very honestly, brother, you can sit in front of that mic and say that. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. And you don't know what I'm going through, and we all have this. And it's a part of the human condition. But I want to tell you something. We, those of us who are saved, are on our way home. We're on our way to heaven. And we will be in glory with him. And he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And we will be living eternally in joy unspeakable. Yes, things can be difficult down here. But whatever you do, in everything give thanks. wrote Paul to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything. Now, he didn't write for everything, give thanks. He didn't write for everything because there's some things that you're not thankful for, hurt and pain, but in everything, there's not a situation you're going through that should cause you not to be able to give thanks. Why? That oft-quoted, we all know it, that verse, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. That is either a true statement, friends, or it is not. Now, it doesn't say, it's kind of like that 1 Thessalonians 5:18 verse, it doesn't say that everything's good. It doesn't say anything of the sort. Not all things are good, but they're all working together for good. And if you believe that, then there is no reason for you, for me, for any of us to allow bitterness to creep in and anger at God. And yet, I've known people like that. I'm sure I've lived through it myself at times. It is not for us. Let's read on now in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. What do we know about Esau? What's it saying? Esau was a profane person. That is, he was worldly. That is, he wasn't saved at all. And he proved it with his life. And he proved it in the things that were important to him. You know, a saved person has a very different way of looking at things than other people. Paul wrote to the Colossians, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ Jesus sits at the right hand of God. He said, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, you know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Well, where was Esau's treasure? It was in a bowl of soup. He came in weary from hunting, and he said, give me some of that soup. You know, I'm starving. Jacob was brewing up that soup. You can read the story back in the 27th chapter of Genesis if you want to go back there. Jacob said, well, okay, sell me your birthright. Give me your birthright, and I'll give you the soup. Now, that's not easy perhaps for us to understand nowadays. The birthright was very important. It was the prime thing, and it went to the firstborn, and Esau was the firstborn. And Esau proved right then and there on the spot where his heart was. The things that God valued, the things that he should have been placing a value on, he placed no value on at all. He was strictly of the world and worldly. And when it came right down to it, yes, he cried out, bless me, my father. He cried to Isaac, his father, bless me, even me. Haven't you got one blessing for me? Isaac said, well, I gave them all away to your brother, Jacob. He came in here with stealth and got it. Now, you can read this story once again in the 27th chapter of Genesis. Then you can say, well, Jacob was an underhanded, scheming conniver. Yeah, he was, wasn't he? But even at that, he showed where he put the value. He wanted that birthright, and he wanted his father's blessings. And he went about it in the wrong way, but he got them. And Esau did not. He put no value on it, and therefore he didn't have them. Now look, friends, we are told here not to fail of the grace of God. We are told to set our hearts on things that are above, not on things on the earth. And if you're listening to me out there, I would ask you, where's your heart? What is it you're really after? Now, you know, you can go out here and you can work and labor away, and, you know, you got a lot of people just going around in circles here, and no wonder they're bitter and unhappy. They're laboring for things that will never satisfy. I remember hearing Doss Trotman one time talk about this, and he said, you know, you got people out there, and they're getting up and they're going to work. Well, why are you going to work? Well, I got to make some money so I can buy food and eat it and keep up my strength so I can go back and work and buy some more, make some more money. Well, what do you want more money for? Well, I got to have a place to live where I can sleep and rest up so I can go back to work and make some more money. Well, what do you want more money for? And people just going around in circles like that. Now, look, the Lord knows that we need food and shelter. He knows what our needs are. He has promised us that He will meet our needs, and He will meet our needs. But we are to set our affection on things above. And if your affections are set on things above, if you are there laying hold on Christ at the right hand of God and just delighting and joying in Him, I will guarantee you that you will not be a bitter, miserable, unhappy person. And if you are bitter and miserable and unhappy, your problem is you are really just about like Esau. And there's no point in your contacting me later on and saying, look, you don't have any idea what so-and-so did to me. Yeah? You better forget it and go on and lay hold on Christ. Let's read on here. You're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. Now, look at this. Once again, I mean, the writer here is talking to these Jews about the Mount of God, that mountain where the law was given and all that. We're not come unto that mountain. If so much as a beast touched the mountain, we read, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's not what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with earthly things. That's where Esau was, dealing with earthly things, things that ultimately didn't matter. But look at this. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, once again, where were these Jews that this man was writing to? What was their great danger? The great danger they were in was of in going back to the earthly temple, which was still standing at the time this letter was written, back to the Levitical priesthood, back to the Aaronic priesthood, back to the law chiseled in stone, back to all those old ordinances. That's what they were going back to, and there was nothing back there anymore. Not only was there nothing back there, after the Lord Jesus' death, you know, the veil was rent in two, and the way into the true Holy of Holies was open. But not only that, yet just a few years after this letter was written, that temple was torn down. It was wrecked by the Romans, and it has not stood since then. There is nothing to go back to on this earth. So what are we to go to? We are to be pressing toward another mark. There is a temple in the heavens not made with hands. There is the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy Zion in the heavenlies. There is another covenant and better sprinkling and a better sacrifice, and that is what we are to be pressing toward. And to do that is indeed to be in the better place. Let's read on here. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What could be shaken? Well, an earthly temple can be shaken. Anything on this earth can be shaken. Anything can be destroyed and taken away. And look, if you are refusing the voice of Him that is eternal in the heavens and that has created and gone to prepare a place for us in the heavens and in the heavenly places, there's nothing left. You lay hold on Him. Look how this chapter, we'll get through the chapter here today. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, I said at the outset of this broadcast, there are a lot of practical things in Christianity, and here there is nothing more practical than the way this ends. And some of you out there may be saying, well, it sounds like a lot of pie in the sky to me. We've got nothing here and everything's there. Oh, no, this is intensely practical because we are, by His grace, a heavenly people. We are, by His grace, the Lord's people. And we have nothing here. We are pilgrims and we are strangers and we are merely passing through. And our inheritance is above and we have a home above. And He is waiting to welcome us home and to bid us enter. Now, there's a story many of you might have heard, and I want to close with this story. It is a true story, although I cannot tell you for sure the name of the individual who this story is about. And some of you I know have read this, and some of you probably may know his name. It's a story of a missionary who was coming back from Africa. He had been many years in Africa. He was with his wife. And he was on the very same ship that Theodore Roosevelt was on when he was coming back from his big game hunting trip after he had left the presidency in 1912. He went on a safari and game hunting trip over in Africa. And when this ship came in, the crowds just mobbed down on the dock in New York there, in Hoboken probably, to welcome the ship. And the missionary was hurt and said, pretty good. I give my life to serving in Africa. No one welcomes me home. And his wife said, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. There'll be a welcoming committee. Think about it. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.